Not that we are sufficient to think anything of ourselves as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Beloved souls of Christ, today in the gospel we are exhorted by Christ. What should be our motivation, our battle cry, our purpose? Love the Lord thy God. Then it is shown more explicitly how, with thy whole heart, soul, and mind. Remembering that God has called us all into existence, and he deserves all of our love. But we have in another instance the rich young man who was exhorted along the same lines to sell all that he had and give to the poor. And he went away sad because he had many possessions. We also see then in comparison the rewards presented. If thou wilt be perfect, sell all. To possess eternal life, love. And why? Because in attaining to true perfection, we must detach ourselves from worldly temporal goods, from this life, that we may more easily strive in virtue and towards eternal life. Eternal life is a share in God's life, which one could say is love. And these two go hand in hand, for it is by a stripping of ourselves of our self-love, of love of self, through our possessions, that we increase in the love of God. As I always try to point out, that we mean an inordinate love of self. As we are God's creatures, we ought to love ourselves in the proper fashion, love our soul, and then therefore seek our greatest good, which is our eternal reward, which is union with God. But we renounce in ourselves as much as our will becomes divergent from God's will. This then brings us to an important part of the spiritual life, our will, what we choose. It must be in control somewhat. It must be in control of our lower faculties, that is, our senses and our passions. And then this, our will must be strengthened against our wants of the flesh. But in realizing then God is ultimately the governor of all things, our will must be subject to him and to his laws. Thus be ready for him to lead you where he wills. Detach yourself from earthly things, that we may be ready to love God in all aspects of our lives. For this is what he wills, that we may possess eternal life. What a wondrous thought we have today in the epistle, as the old law led to death, and yet was brought in the glory of Moses, his countenance that the people could not behold. How much more glorious is the new law which leads to life. Moses was up on the mountain and he came down with the Ten Commandments because he was in the presence of God, because he was gifted them by God. The people could not look upon him. But where is our love? How does our love shine brightly in the world, that the people may see a difference in our life, in our attitude about life, about the things that come to pass, all the struggles that we have, and all the glories that we have? All of this is fuel for us to love God the more, for us to turn to God and to glorify him, to thank him, to worship and adore him, to give him that glory, because from him comes all things. Love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, thy whole mind, and with thy whole soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. What does this love look like? In philosophy, we say, you cannot give what you do not have. You have to possess these things. You have to possess yourself. What does this mean? You have to be in control of yourself to give yourself to God. We work at that self-control. This is the practice of the faith, to study ourselves and to see where our passions lead us, and to be in control, choosing. We work to possess ourselves in a rational way, We have our intellect and free will. Our intellect, subject to the truths of the faith, God has revealed. And we know them, we study them, and then we inform our will to choose rightly, to choose that better thing. But a will that's not informed will make the choice to the comforts of the world. And so rationally, we bring before our mind those truths of the faith on a daily basis to know, love, and serve God, to know what he has planned for us, what he has prepared for us, the glory to come in heaven. Is the better thing to choose over these little things of the world, over these passing pleasures? So we must possess ourselves. In our heart, we must control our desires and not let our passions lead us. We are in control. I say I, not those desires, those lowly desires that I have, but my will, my intellect, my rational being. Build up your desires. The more you do something, the more you love it. Practice your faith. The more you practice your faith, the more it becomes a part of you. In your mind, give your mind to God. Your thoughts must be controlled. Not all of our thoughts are good thoughts, and we must sift through them and cast away those bad thoughts and focus on the good things and control our mind and direct our mind to God, to give our mind to him. Our thoughts must be subjected to the faith and our call to virtue. Love God with your mind by turning it to him, by filling it with the good things of the faith, with the means to come to him. And then our soul. This is to say, love God completely and in all things. As your soul is the core of your being, as we'll lose our bodies, we don't lose our soul. Love God then at every opportunity. So we had this past week, the Feast of St. Augustine. I quote from his book of his Confessions. If material things please you, take occasion from them to praise God and turn your love from them toward him who made them, lest in these things that please you, you displease him. If souls please you, let them be loved in God, because they also are subject to change, but being fixed in him, they are firmly established. Without him, they would perish and pass away. In him, then, let them be loved, and take along with you to him as many of them as you can. Say to them, him let us love. Him let us love. He it is who made all these things, and he is not far off. For he did not make them and then go away from them, but they are from him and in him. And behold, there he is, wherever truth is relished. He is in the most inward part of the heart, but the heart has strayed from him. We work to give ourselves to God. We work to fill ourselves with him and to see all things in that purpose of glorifying God. That is the end of all things. And today we are exhorted to love him with our whole heart and soul and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Again, love yourself rightly, that we are created in God's image and likeness. We have a soul to be saved. Love yourself by seeking that greatest good, by not lowering yourself into the little things of the world, the passing pleasures of the world, but elevate yourself to living a spiritual life and living for God himself, living as his child, living for him. And so our neighbors, as we love ourselves, they give us these opportunities of virtue. And again, calculate the grace, not the difficulty. See in our neighbors the opportunities of sacrifice, of charity, of patience, long-suffering. Again, I quote St. Augustine. This it is that we love in friends, and such deep love that a man's conscience accuses itself if he loves not one who returns his love, or if he does not love in return the man who loves him first, seeking nothing from him in the carnal way, but only signs of his goodwill. This is the explanation for that morning when a friend dies in the darkness of sorrow and a heart lamenting at its sweetness, being turned to bitterness and at the loss of life of the dying, the death of the living. But blessed is he who loves you, O Lord, and his friend in you, and his enemy for your sake. For he alone never loses anyone dear to him, to whom all are dear only in him, whom he never loses. And who is this but our God, the God who made heaven and earth and fills all things with his presence, because it is by filling them that he made them. All things in him, through him, and with him. All things for his love. We have been created and given this whole creation for that one purpose, to love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, soul, and mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.